And we're back.
Ah, yes.
Time has passed.
Oh, so much time. Too much time, some would say.
And everyone is on the edge of their seats waiting. How does 1999 end? How does it end? What did Adam see? I can't... Oh, I don't know what to do with myself. Why didn't they give us the whole episode in one chunk, they're saying? Well, fear ye not. The nightmare is over. Part two has arrived.
Yeah, and if you are excited, then you're in for some big letdowns. It's not his fault. All the shit films apparently that year were saved till the end. But there's some really dire shit bombs coming. Waste no further time. Let's continue with part two of the Out of Canon Adam Richmond historical memoir review of 1999 in film. Enjoy.
Enjoy. Now we get to the money shot of 1999.
God.
Now, listeners,
where
were you? 1999, what film came out in July? It's the big film. Everyone was talking about it. There'd been a big gap. There were classic films. Everyone loved them. Everyone was like, oh, he's making some more. He's making some more. Whoa, this is amazing. What, Ewan McGregor's in it? Oh.
Hello!
It's Star Wars Episode
You're 1. You're putting out Doubtfire!
It's Star Wars Episode 1, or Star
the
Wars...
The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it just says Star Wars
Or does it say The Phantom Men?
Doesn't have the... I saw this at 11 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I was keen as mustard.
God. Were you?
Oh, well, look at the time, my friend.
Yeah.
Look at the time. I've never
got the sense from you that you grew up being kind of really, really into Star Wars. Were you? Was that a big... Because I've got a friend who was. I mean, I love those... Star Wars films growing up, but a good friend of mine really loved them, and when that came out, like, it was like the biggest thing that had ever happened in his life. Like, he nearly lost his shit when that came out.
No, well, just because a fan of cinema, that's why I was excited.
You felt like you had to see it was a cinematic event.
I felt
of your generation.
I felt our generation, we had the toys and we understood the world, but we didn't particularly get the excitement about when those films came out.
Really?
We didn't know
the excitement. It was just something that was always on the video shelf and would always get played, and we weren't
there first.
Yeah.
We were getting people's reheated dog shit.
No, they're fairy tales for us.
Yeah,
it was just always, let's watch Star Wars, you like that story.
Yeah.
It wasn't ever an event of like, what's going to happen in the next one?
It was just there, and like, you had the toys, and I remember my cousins had the Millennium Falcon. Like, it was
That was a good toy. Oh. It felt really good. If you pressed your whole palm onto the top of it, because all the knobbly bits,
But yeah, that's the thing, it was ephemera that I didn't, even if you didn't mean to have a Star Wars toy, they were there when you were playing amongst them. You know, I had my He-Mans and my A-Teams, and then it's like, oh, there's a little miniature Darth Vader. I don't know where he's come from, but he's like, these little things are just there in your kid world.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily mean that much to you.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to get my trilogy. They're doing one for me.
Right. Okay.
Fine. Oh, this is good. I can be there. This is where we get to look back and go, whoa, 70s. We were there, but we can get to say it about the fucking 1990s.
Yeah.
I think that's what I thought.
We're still wearing flares, sadly.
But that's why there was so much written about it.
Yeah.
The lead up to
there was a lot of interminable. All I remember about that time is that there was just a lot of buzz about how good they were going to be.
Really?
Yeah. That was, I think...
I never got a buzz about that. The buzz
people saying on TV and in magazines and stuff, like, everyone was like, these look incredible. I mean, like, imagine seeing an origin story for Darth Vader, and everyone's like, wait till you see them. We're doing things that we've never been able to do before.
Yeah, PR.
Really?
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. The now fucking, you know. But I bought into it. That was actually the first time I ever went to the cinema on my own. Because I was like, fuck it, I want to go see it. I don't care if I'm going on my own.
Oh, so you would have been 17, 18?
I think I was 16.
1999, work backwards.
Oh,
16.
I can't be bothered. Yeah. I was 16,
eh?
Can't be bothered to do the maths. But, I went to see that on my own. Didn't like it. surprise.
We won't go...
Must see.
I remember the original poster's amazing for that. You've got this little Anakin stood in front of the sort of Tatooine sort of curved dome, and the shadow he's casting is Darth Vader.
Yeah, so much promise. It says visually, we're going to get from this to Darth Vader. Imagine, how the hell are we going to do that? And you're going like, yeah, how are you going to do that? And they're like, just you wait.
We've already, off mic, over dinner, we've already discussed how much we hate the other two. In retrospect,
I hate all three.
I really enjoyed...
But the third one's the most interesting to watch.
I really enjoyed the first one when I first watched it. And I...
So that their viewing, how did you feel when you came out of the cinema?
I remember, because the last 20 minutes is... Excellent filmmaking. Excellent. It's very good. The last lightsaber battle with Darth Maul.
Yeah.
The music. It's really well cut. It's really thrilling. I remember being kind of bored for big sections of it. But I remember feeling bored for big sections of Star Wars.
Mm.
And I just sort of thought, yeah, you know what? This isn't great. This isn't amazing. There's some really cool stuff in it. And the other ones, when they came out, I got less and less interested. And I think, you know, Phantom Menace is the high point of
it. Well, actually, the Phantom Menace is the only one that has a villain in Darth Maul who is just probably even just from the trailers, but just instantly felt like part of the Star Wars canon to me. I think I dressed up as him on Halloween as well after that, which took me about five hours to do the face paint. But it looked really good.
Let's all picture it.
Let's
have a moment of silence. Just have a moment of silence.
But they don't know what I look like.
To imagine Jeff was dressed as Darth Maul.
It looked fucking amazing. I went to see my brother. He was at university in Leeds. He was like, yeah, we're going to have a Halloween party. Do you want to come up? And I was like, yeah. So I got to hang out with all these university kids. And I did that. And they all, I remember coming downstairs and they were like, fucking hell, mate, you look fucking amazing. And then I went to get chips with a guy dressed like a golfer and a dry guy dressed like a gangster. And one of them was like, ew, this is like a knock-knock joke or something, isn't it? And I was like, yeah.
That's great. Don't say anyway. This is what this whole thing is
about. Even though I didn't really like the film, it felt like Darth Maul was like, yeah, he's part of it now. Like, that's Star Wars.
Yeah.
But then you never got that. Like, who the fuck else did you... What, Count Dooku? Who is our friend Jeff always calls him Robot Hassel. It's General Grievous. But Robot Hassel is such a better name for him. What's that? Spinning his lightsabers around.
And then he's got a bit of a cough.
I've got a robot cough. So I'm with you there. Darth Maul was like a really, really solid. And the double lightsaber, that's all you wanted, isn't it?
That's it, man.
It's almost like when you see one long thing that looks really nice, like you want to grab it and put your hands on it. The only thing that could be better would be two joined together end to end. Just something really pleasing about that. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a whole segment of the community who'd agree with you.
The community. They're shut-ins. Old people's homes.
They perk up.
Anyway,
yes, man.
Have
you heard these things? You can have. You can strap them together. Anyway,
must see.
Must not a must see. Well, I went to see The Matrix again.
Did you?
At the end of the July.
Oh, God bless you.
Went to see it at High Wycombe. More expensive.
Oh,
Wycombe 6.
Yeah, that's your big guns, High Wycombe.
So that's how much I like The Matrix. I liked it that much.
Yep.
Then we've got Austin Powers.
Oh, okay.
This is The Spy Who Shagged Me. In fact, I'd go so far as to say it definitely was The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Is that the sequel or the first one?
That is the sequel.
No, because the first one had a subtitle.
No,
didn't
it didn't. It was just called Austin Powers, the International Man of Mystery.
That's it.
Didn't do so well, I remember. And then it came out on video and it kind of built up this... Everyone started going, I'm not going to say one actual fucking quote from it. Actually, I was that close to sullying my thing. But yeah, and then he got this, got the sequel, and I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never thought I'd laugh so much until I saw a big fat Scotch man talking about eating a baby and doing a poo and sticking things up his rectum. And it's just... Yeah, it's just comedy. It's just simple.
It's kind of dopey, but a real comedy. I really like this one.
You know, in no way is it too long or too shit.
I still sometimes quote the first two Austin Powers films. I don't mean I've still seen the third one. At the time, me and my friends loved those first two films, and I still quote them, like, not on purpose. They're like ingrained into my vocabulary.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't take the piss out of this. I'm the cunt because 4 days later I saw it again.
4 days later. Oh, God bless you. He's right. There's the evidence.
See,
if just... proof be needed.
And then in between, I saw Star Wars again.
That was a bumper summer for Adam Richman.
What the fuck else was I going to do?
Try and have sex with someone. Jesus.
Your mum was out of town.
Hey-o. Yeah, she was out of town.
I'm sorry. Christ. My parents got divorced and I nothing but films. Sorry, that joke's going to kind of...
No, I mean, Austin Powers, I don't think I'll ever watch them again, but...
No, I wouldn't.
I say fair enough. And if I had a kid who was like 15, it's like nothing's funny. I might say like, oh, watch that.
Mind you, you
have to have grown up with the James Bond films, I think, to find them funny.
No,
but then they rip it. Have you ever seen In Like Flint, which they reference?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my favourite movie. If you ever watch In Like Flint, it's exactly the same. That's where they got all the humour from, which is a shame.
I think it's scatological. Those films are purely scatological.
Only the Fat Bastard stuff.
No,
there's some fun. It sticks with you. It does stick with you, you know, and that doesn't mean nothing.
Jeff is staring at me seriously.
Doesn't that count for something in film? If you can come up with characters that you remember, fucking 10-20 years later.
Mike Myers was always good at that. He's done, you know, he did Wayne, he did Austin Powers.
So I Married an Axe Murderer Guy.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good film. Cool. Yeah, different league.
He did that The Love Guru, which is fucking...
Never seen it. Yeah, not interested.
I never saw that.
Okay.
Thomas Crown Affair, the remake.
Not seen it.
Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo.
Right.
John McTiernan, my favourite director ever since his work on a little film I like to call Die Hard.
Oh!
Thomas Crown Affair is a very good film.
Uh-huh.
Nice little heist picture. It's got great twists and turns. It's got some lovely action sequences. Pierce Brosnan is wonderful in it. Rene Russo, you get to see her tits and Bush.
Lovely.
Bush
wasn't a big deal back then, was it?
You get to see it.
A matter of course, excuse the pun.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I remember the days. That was a real treat.
Really?
You barely get to see Bush.
If you saw a tit, you get Bush.
No. Not my memory.
Is this in any way misogynistic, this conversation?
I don't care.
I don't think it is.
I've got a raised eyebrow.
There's nothing wrong with that.
They can't. Okay, now, these are the films, if you say, like, my kid at 15 says, oh, there's nothing funny.
Uh-huh.
This is the film I'd say.
Okay.
And this is the... I saw these films back to back.
Oh, God.
Goes apart.
That doesn't bode well. These films.
It's one film.
Go on.
South Park.
Oh!
Bigger.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Longer uncut.
Yeah. A great TV show. It's consistently had quality much more than any of its cartoon rivals, even though it may not necessarily be the best one. They're very, very clever guys with, I think, exceptional comedic understanding, if that's the phrase.
Yeah, I mean...
They just understand what's funny over time as well. And that film, all of their films are fucking brilliant. Not that they've made that many, but Cannibal the Musical...
Orgasmo is not funny.
Oh, come on, you're joking, aren't you?
I mean,
it's really funny.
Some of those jokes are completely ripped off from, like, other films. There's one
joke
that's
that.
Just stolen from The Man with Two Brains.
Is there?
Where he's, like, praying to the Lord. He's going, please, Lord, give me the sign. Give me a sign that I shouldn't do this porno. And the house starts shaking and things get thrown across the room. And then he pauses and goes, any sign at all.
Right.
That's a fucking... beat for beat rip-off of The Man with Two Brains.
Okay.
Where Steve Mines, his wife, I think, is dead or something, and he's praying. Kathleen Turner's, you know, hot as fuck and wants to do him, and he prays to her. He goes, please give me a sign.
Well, that's my book. Well, if you're listening, Trey Cooper and Matt Stone, or whatever you're called, Trey Cooper's the drummer from Green Day. Well, fine, it's on you now, buddy. And you can apologise for your shit band while you're at it as well.
I don't mind. I'm just saying, like, Orgasmo is pretty low rent.
I think it's really funny.
Cannibal the Musical's quite funny. I like basketball.
Basketball's amazing. They have it. Again, it's like what we were saying about Adam Sandler. They have that, but it's much more firmly in their grasp. They seem to be able to kind of capture the same lightning in a bottle numerous times. And the South Park film was... I mean, that's what took that TV show from just a sort of fart joke guilty pleasure to the next level, that people realise this is something that's actually, you know, it's really good satire, and God knows the Americans fucking needed it. I mean, we had, like, Brass Eye and, well, any of those things that Steve Coogan and Chris Morris were involved in. That's what South Park is for America, and they're brilliant, and the Team America film was sort of the next level. It's a shame that they're still doing South Park, but they've got that musical, which I'm sure is great. It's Mormons, the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a lot of those jokes on the South Park episode already.
But I'd really love to see them make another film again, because they're so good at comedy, and they're in another league. And if you've forgotten that, fuck it, go back and watch the South Park film or Team America and remind yourself.
I think because the films take so long to make, they got really fucked off making Team America because they thought it would be a really funny joke, the idea of their puppets.
Yeah.
But it was a ball ache to make.
Yeah, but it's really well done as well.
I think, I don't think I've laughed harder. I have never laughed harder at a film than I have at South Park, the movie.
Uh-huh.
It's got that. That's a must-see.
Definitely.
That's got to be a recommendation. I don't know. I can't say it in any other way.
I would call it a must-see.
Okay, we're on the home straight.
Okay, cool.
Go.
Oh, yeah, that was sort of the precursor to hipsterism for our generation somehow.
Doug Lyman, he'd sort of hot off Swingers. He's gone on to do very shit stuff. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Jumper, and no, that's not about a man's out. It's actually...
Spoiler alert, it's too itchy.
Go was sort of... It came after Pulp Fiction, and it's sort of got the same... Not the same premise, but it's got three stories. They're interconnected characters. This is what you got post-Tarantino. These kinds of films coming out, and they're kind of fair to middling. This is probably a better one.
And you got Joey out of Dawson's Creek, but she's taking pills.
Yeah, exactly.
Craziness.
There's the kid from Grange Hills in it.
Oh, yeah, that skinny guy.
Yeah.
Sick. And they go and see a lap dance. Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's Pulp Fiction, but for teenagers, really.
Yeah, I don't know.
No need to ever watch that.
No, I don't think it's probably dated very well.
Yeah.
The 13th Warrior. This is another shout-out.
Is that Samurai Martial Arts?
No. It's a Viking movie directed by John McTiernan.
Oh!
Again, second... You know, he was a busy man. Antonio Banderas.
What?
Omar Sharif.
Okay.
It's all got... it's based on a Michael Crichton book. But like one of his really shit ones. Another one of his shit ones.
Well, he wrote Jurassic Park, didn't he? Is that a good book?
It is quite good, actually.
Well, there you go then.
But you know, his other books, they're all the
Client, that was all right.
The same premise. Yeah, that's John Grisham, you cunt.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay, you're being funny. Jeff made a joke. 13th Warrior.
I wasn't being funny, but
if you like Vikings, Antonio Banderas. I can't remember a fucking thing about
it. What's he doing in a Viking movie?
We
will take Oslo for ourselves.
The Painted Man. So that sort of thing, I think.
What?
You know.
I don't know what you're saying.
Robin Hood, you know, the witch who goes, oh, the Painted Man.
Moving on.
He's like, he's a dark... Are they Vikings? They're something. They're warriors.
Hispanic gay Vikings.
I don't know. Okay. I don't recommend it. I went to see it, though. Drop Dead Gorgeous.
What's that, then?
Satire.
Yeah, that's a horror film?
No. It's a satire of beauty pageants. It's sort of in the vein of a Christopher Guest film, but nowhere near as talented. But it's got Kirsten Dunst and Denise Richards in.
I love Kirsten Dunst.
She's excellent in it. This is when she was, you know, she's kind of... really finding her feet and being kind of sweet.
I'd like to find her feet.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't I? It's good.
My shoulders.
If that pops up on telly... Christ.
Sorry.
I can't carry on. if you find her feet on your shoulders, I'd like to... You should watch that.
If that does pop on telly, that's a must-see.
It's a must-see. It's fun. You know, it's got... It's, you know, one of those kind of... The docu-drama style things.
Do you know who directed it?
No one famous.
Okay.
But it's...
I'd like to see it.
It's sort of like, you know, it's the sort of thing that then Ricky Gervais popularised with The Office.
Yeah.
And then it's then got repopularised back in The American Office. And yeah, kind of, you know, it's good. It's sort of funny.
Great.
What else? Okay, now this is a bloody... so many Die Hard references. Deep Blue Sea.
Ah, I remember that.
Rennie
yes.
Harlin,
yeah.
Director of Deep Blue, director of Die Hard 2.
Deep Blue Die
Deep
Hard
Blue
2.
Deep Blue Sea.
That was LL Cool J's debut performance on film, was it not?
Yeah,
it was
maybe.
The comedy foil.
He was the chef.
He was.
He,
yeah.
He gives a recipe. He tells you how to make omelets in that.
Yeah.
Because they're quite hard to make.
Apparently.
I think something eggs or something.
He says the ideal amount of eggs to use is 2, not 3.
And then he says,
which I still dispute. And it's funny. Can these things sink in?
Yeah. Like
every time I make an omelet, I will use 3 eggs. And I always think of that stupid fucking film. Yeah.
And he says adding milk. People think adding milk for density, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
And
it's not necessary.
I used to add milk to my scrambled eggs, and ever since I saw that, I went, oh yeah, LL Cool J in that movie knows how to make eggs. So I was like, oh right, I'm going to stop adding milk to my eggs. Saffron Burrows, Thomas Jane, Samuel
Hello.
L. Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to mention him?
He delivers a wonderful speech in this film. And then something happens.
Spoiler alert. They tried to reinvent the B-movie.
I really liked this movie when I saw it. I really liked this movie. I did. I'm going to get... It was a stupid, fun
it
film.
Was. I watched that with friends in a living room. You know, just... I think we had, like, one small beer each. So that counted as getting drunk at the time. Yeah, really, really fun to watch. But you're a complete waste of time.
Yeah,
you know, retrospectively, which these things shouldn't be. They shouldn't only be good then. I think they should have longevity.
They should.
They should still be good now.
Yeah,
and that one isn't.
Not. No,
but,
no. Yeah,
also, it's got Jaws to contend with.
It crops
which
up
is
every.
A shame.
It crops every now and again on the ITV channels.
Just watch one of the many shit Alien sequels. Such Aliens is a sort of slightly better version of Deep Blue Sea.
Aliens is not a shit anything.
You're joking, right?
Aliens is fucking good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Are you serious?
I like Aliens.
It's no better than Deep Blue Sea. It's just about better
Sorry,
than Deep
it's
Blue
a million
sea.
Times better than Deep
it's
Blue
It's better
sea.
Than Deep Blue Sea just because the baddies are from Ridley Scott's Alien
no,
and not
CGI
sharks.
It's a really well-constructed film.
It's a pile of fucking nonsense.
Is this another bug hunt, sir? Can that shit, Hudson?
They mostly come at night.
Mostly.
Aliens is a fucking bag of bollocks, and they ruin. Oh, that's
moving on.
A whole other conversation.
Analyze this.
Oh, still not seen it.
I don't, mate. It's fucking awful.
Okay.
Billy Crystal, Robert De Niro, mugging the fuck out of everything. Now, Eyes Wide Shut.
Yep.
Right. I remember being very excited about this. This would, you know, he died. Poor Stanley Kubrick had died.
Yeah.
There was talk about him maybe not even getting released. He spent 2 years filming it.
Yeah.
Harvey Keitel had been on the set for ages.
He wouldn't leave.
He got bored. And then he got replaced by Sidney Pollack.
Uh-huh.
He's a director, but he also acts in a bit. And then, I genuinely believe, I'm sure, like, this isn't new, but it was the first film that Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise had been in Far and Away together. Which is a wonderful film.
Not
must
seen it.
Must recommend Far and Away.
Okay.
But they were on set together for 2 years, and I think at that, you know, they thought, you know what, I can't fucking stand the sight of you anymore. Because, obviously, if you're a famous actor, you don't see the person you're with. Never mind, aside the fact that it was obviously a sham front marriage or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you get to be apart from your significant other for months on end. And if you're stuck on a film set for 2 years, that's going to be the fucking nail in the coffin, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah.
But anyway,
I don't know.
I don't want to get into tittle tattle.
Speculative.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
But yeah, so I was very excited to see it. Everyone was. It was his last film.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get it. Again, I came out sort of trying so. I went in, tried so hard to get into it, and I sort of maybe kind of enjoyed it, but it's very. I like the ending. Uh-huh. I like the idea of what it's about. The idea that she cheats.
Spoiler alert.
it's not a spoiler alert to tell you what the film's about. It makes it easier to watch. The idea that she
but cheats, it's not
she
it's,
cheats in for me the film's about she cheats in her head and then he goes out and he cheats in his cock and they're the same. They're the same thing.
See, but that is the ending.
No, that's
there's no more to it than that.
Well, I'm sorry, there's no point going on the journey there's no point going on the journey. Like, you need to go back and watch it and, like, find all these nuances. It's not... If you watch that film and then all you've got from it is the twist, like I did, it's a really unsatisfying experience.
Yeah.
You will need to go back and go,
eyes wide shit. I really hate that film.
Right, so
it's a disaster.
Don't tell me I'm fucking spoiling it for anyone. I'm saying, if you watch this film, go in with eyes wide open.
Oh, flip reverse it.
Don't
go and see it. Honestly, don't waste your time.
This is a not recommend.
I really fucking love Stanley Kubrick, of course I do.
Why do you hate it so much?
I really, really hated the fact that it all hinged on the idea of what made the film, how do you say it, like the fuel for the film was this supposed love between Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And it's like, well, I haven't seen any of that, and this is fucking bollocks, and I don't care about these characters. It was totally overblown. The fucking acting is atrocious, especially Nicole Kidman. Like, it's horrible. It's like, where was the director?
He was ill. He was dying.
Nevertheless, someone must have been on set.
Well, here's the thing.
Honestly, it's so over the top. It's very, very hard to watch. And I use that term very sparingly. There are so many films that I actually genuinely find hard to watch.
What do you think it's like hard to watch?
Well, I don't know. Just bring that on me.
Oh, no, okay, no. Well, if you think
it's people say stuff's hard to watch. It's like, that's a bit fucking dramatic. But Eyes Wide Shut is one of those things
Jeff
where it's like...
Jeff, not dramatic.
You want to turn the fucking volume off. For certain bits, he always look away.
He always wanted to make a really sort of high art mainstream film with full on sex, full blown cocks in fannies.
Yeah,
and this was as close as he got to it. It was, just, and I guess it's like so many passion projects that directors want to make. When they finally get to make them, they're always a disappointment and a failure. Gangs of New York is another one.
I really like Gangs of New York.
Oh, for fuck's sake, this is over. No.
Sorry about that.
That film is...
It just needs editing. It's all in there.
The story, because it's such this... It's this long... You lose all frame of reference of what you loved about the idea. That idea is... Gangs of New York should be about Bill the Butcher. But then as soon as Leonardo DiCaprio comes on, it's like, okay, fine, it's got to be slightly about something else. Let's give him a shit Irish accent. Okay, let's get Cameron Diaz to really stink up the fucking screen. Because of course you need a romantic interest. Of course you do.
Of course.
Because why else would you come to see a film unless you wanted to see people falling in love? So it's this complete compromise. And basically, because it's a labour of love, they get to the point where the director will just do anything to get it on screen. And there's so many compromises that it fucks it. There's no labour of love film that's ever been any good. And I say that without a scintilla of evidence to back
it up. What depresses me is you say that like it's a loaded trap for me to suddenly come in, but I just don't have the energy. We've been going too long for me to now suddenly do that.
We
were talking about Eyes Wide Shut the other day, were we not? And you put it out really well what Kubrick was trying to do about the having sex thing and it was a reference to some idea that there was this clandestine, like, underground sex club thing among the aristocracy.
I didn't say that.
That's like a sort of pervasive idea in society.
I think maybe Matt said it.
Right, okay.
But I like the idea. I mean, I genuinely think there's an interesting idea, the idea that it's a really male idea. If a woman has a fantasy about a man, it's the same as a man fucking a woman in real life. It's like, oh, come on, you fence. Yeah. Oh,
you've thought about it.
You thought about it. I've just done it. Yeah. Oh, it's the same thing. It's like they're walking around Hamleys when they have that conversation.
Yeah, I know. I know. How fucking weird. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but you're bringing it back and I don't want you to. I wouldn't waste my time.
The mate I fell out with, most of these films I saw with him, and he came out and he was as furious as you were. When I was that age, I was so enamoured with these icons like Malick and Kubrick, and I'd been fed these things. I was like, I wanted to give the film so much leeway, and I was sort of arguing with him about stuff. I mean, he loved Thin Red Line, but like Eyes Wide Shut, he fucking hated it. He was like, and he was littered with errors. He said, littered with errors.
Uh-huh.
There's a scene where they're talking around the pool table,
right?
And he just said to me, they kept moving the balls. The balls were always in different places. And I was like, I didn't notice that. He was like, oh, I did. That's bad filmmaking. And I was like, well, is that important? But
it's lazy. It wouldn't necessarily make it a bad film.
Well, here's the thing.
There are worse criticisms to be made of Eyes Wide Shut than where the pool balls are.
He was being flippant. But he took it as the evidence of sloppy filmmaking. And he's possibly right. But then people talk about The Shining, and there are continuity errors in that.
Right, well, there you go then.
No, but people use those to say that the film, Kubrick meant them. And Kubrick's trying to send hidden signals.
Yeah, of course they do, because it's such a... There's such a thing surrounding The Shining.
Yeah, so people want it... Well, so which is it? Either he's a fucking fuck-up who doesn't give a fuck about continuity, or he's giving hidden messages.
No, but there's plenty of great films with continuity errors.
Yeah, but so you can't suddenly say a director who's known for continuity errors, Stanley Kubrick, and then go, oh, but on this one film, those continuity errors mean...
Wait, are you insinuating that the pool ball moving was meant to signify something?
Yeah, maybe they make that. Maybe, no. Maybe it's a dream. No, I'm not saying that, but you can't say one film means something and another one doesn't from the same fucking director.
Well, The Shining means something when you watch it because it's a really well-made, cohesive film.
No,
Eyes Wide Shut means fuck all because it's a load of crap.
Yes, but I mean people read mental meanings into The Shining.
Mental meanings. Can we change the name of this podcast to Mental Meanings?
Yes.
Yes!
Right, we'll get off that.
You're listening to Mental Meanings?
Now, here's where the fucking thing gets good, my friend.
Jesus Christ.
Double Bill. This is where... These last few films I've been at university for my first year. University. First year.
This is great. This is like fucking Desert Island Discs, but like a never-ending, hellish version.
We're so close to the end, hour and a half in. This is where I first went to the independent cinema... in Norwich, where I went to went to university. That's a laugh. He's laughing. Cinema City, it was called.
Thought you were going to say something cool then.
Yeah, no. Double Bill. Strangers on a Train.
Ooh.
And Get Carter.
Okay, never seen Get Carter. Strangers on a Train.
I'd never seen
Classic.
Never seen that one. I had. I'd seen Get Carter.
So this is you being a bit more adult, you know? Forgoing your popcorn, toy factory, firework, blockbusters for something a little bit more...
This is me. This is the real you. This is who
emerging
I am.
Emerging like a beautiful...
No. I'd always been
butterfly
there.
It's because all... From your candy-coated chrysalis.
I mean, but the beginning of this film is a great film, Your Friends and Neighbours, and we finally... Like, that's February, and then we're finally in October, and I'm finally back to seeing... great films, and they're old. Like, that's all...
And they're old. That's all the films, they're old.
The ones that I'd seen, that's all was on offer at the cinema.
Uh-huh.
The 1999 was dog shit. So I get back to seeing good films. Like, well, yeah, fuck, people will say The Matrix came out. They'll say Thin Red Line came out. They'll say all sorts. But, you know...
Well, the times they were a-changing.
But yeah, so
and they still are now, but I fail to accept that there weren't great, you know, independent films happening. Well, I'm unable at this time to produce hard examples.
You know, you're not wrong, but I'm saying accessible at the Hemel Hempstead.
It's got Phoenix in Oxford. Was it that far away from you?
Oh, Oxford was... It was like Mordor to me.
Oh, don't you start.
So, right, Strangers on a Train, Get Carter. Get Carter, must see. Strangers on a Train, must see.
Uh-huh. Well, of course. Most people have seen those.
I disagree. I don't think they have.
I need to fit Get Carter into my schedule. Definitely. It's ridiculous that I haven't seen it. And I totally believe that it's really, really good. And I fucking love Michael Caine as well.
He's definitely...
It's not a...
Never been better.
Really? All big words. He's been in a hell of a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, he's always basically the same, isn't he?
No. Yes. All right, yeah, he is. But,
sometimes
he's a bit less working class than other times.
I mean, it's great that when he slightly plays with it, when he's in Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa Smile?
No, Mona Lisa with Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, Mona Lisa Smile.
He plays the sort of the baddie in that, and he plays it amazingly. You never really get to, he never plays that side of it so much. It's really sad when, because he can do it. He can play this. He's got this violence behind him, and generally, it's a violence with sort of righteousness behind it. When he plays it, amoral, malice sort of vibe. It's really fucking, you know, it's really good. But uh-huh. He rarely does it. Watch Mona Lisa.
Okay.
A Neil Jordan film.
All right, there you go. Mona Lisa. Put that down. It's a must see.
Excellent double bill. Go watch Mona Lisa and Get Carter. I don't know what order you want to do them in. I watched American Pie next. This was in November, so don't worry. We're in November. American Pie, I don't want to say anything about that.
Why was that out in November?
Fucking rubbish film.
I love American Pie.
Do not recommend. I love these cinema tickets, eh? Don't you love these cinema tickets?
Oh, yeah, they bring it back.
Paper.
Yep, yep.
This was at the different Odeon in Norwich, so it was really scummy bit of Norwich.
Oh,
don't know how you tell
the East End of Norwich.
Don't know how you tell the difference. I'm joking, folks of Norwich. I love your place.
You're a loser. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
Followed up by the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that when I saw it.
Yep, it's all right.
Yeah, it's good.
Doesn't stand up to repeat viewing so much, but you know, very good.
Never watched it again. Not very really good. Bothered. Now we're on to the Odeon, which was on the main strip where all the drunk skunk pussies hang out.
Oh, the slow-mo users. Drunk skunk pussies.
Fucking kebab
eating. Oh, now I love you again. Fucks. Now I want to hug you really, really hard.
The Sixth Sense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, saw that there.
Ooh, Bruce Willis in something. Hooray.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows about that. It's boring.
Unbreakable's really good, kind of, I think. I remember it being really good. Don't waste your time with The Sixth Sense.
Oh, come on. That's not too bad.
The Sixth Sense.
I enjoyed that one.
Where the fuck does it fit? It doesn't belong anywhere.
If you haven't seen The Sixth Sense, I don't want it. And you don't know anything about it, which is impossible, I'd recommend watching it.
Nice to see Toni Collette, you know, having a fairly sizable role.
What does she collect in it?
Oh, you should have said he. That would have been funny. He. Well, I did that in.
Okay. Okay, forget it. It's rubbish. Run, Lola, Run. Cinema City.
Uh-huh.
That. You heard of that?
Yeah, of course.
Don't know if that stands up anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it does. But at the time, it's like The Matrix. At the time, you're like, well, I haven't seen this before.
This year,
it was European, which is good.
This year has kind of a weird ending, but it's amazing. I saw Fight Club twice.
Yeah!
Fight Club, motherfuckers. We're at the end of the year. We're coming close. Fight Club.
Fight Club and The Matrix in 1 year.
I came out a changed man. I came out.
That year.
I came out as a man who realised the world was not as he thought.
I am Brad Pitt.
I can be anything I want to be.
I can buy a red leather jacket if I want.
I could be cool. I could be him, and I could be a bit weird and a loser. I could meet a girl who likes dressing up in a wedding dress.
Your twin sister's like, you look like a fucking knob. Shut up, man!
Yeah. I thought...
Everyone has to call me Ace from now on!
Yeah. It got me into... I started reading Chuck Palahniuk books, and his early work is excellent. Recommend.
That's worth reading.
I'd recommend his books up to and including Haunted. I would. So you got Lullaby, you got Choke, you got Survivor, you got Fight Club. I possibly wouldn't recommend Invisible Monsters.
All right, this isn't book club. Don't read shit. This isn't for losers who read words. We like flashing images.
Got me into the Pixies, it did.
Oh, yeah, me too. Although we shouldn't be admitting that.
I don't care.
That's really embarrassing.
No, like, it's not.
Yeah, we should have already known that.
I knew nothing about music. I listened to hip-hop. Hip-hop is good, but I knew nothing about rock music.
The way you said that.
I listened
to it. Like I'm black. No, hip-hop is good. I'm sorry, that came out wrong.
I've been listening to hip-hop all day today, my friend. I genuinely have. I love...
We've got Jevon in the corner there looking really angry. No, you know we're cool, don't you?
You always get nothing but shit from people for listening to hip-hop, because they think you're... Either you want to be cool, you're trying to be cool, or you think you're black and you want to be black.
No, it just means that you saw Ghost Dog Way of the Samurai and went, oh, hip-hop is actually very lovely.
No, it's because I used to watch films like Friday with Ice Cube.
Ah, yeah.
And,
Juice.
And my first best mate was into Public Enemy and NWA, and I was like, all right, I'm going to be into what you're into.
Hmm.
So, you know, I missed Nirvana, I missed Pixies, I missed all rock stuff.
We've made up for it
from
now.
From 13 to 20.
No, there's no shame in that. Fucking Wu-Tang Clan are brilliant.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone knows it.
Fucking amazing. Yeah. Must recommend.
Must recommend. We're only about 15 years out of date.
Hey, if you haven't heard of them, you're a fucking
There's a great camp. Band called The Pixies.
The world...
The song What Was In My Mind from the film Fight Clubs.
Fight Club, you know, our friend Joff says it's fucking cool bullshit. I disagree. I think it's
a very good film, and it does again. That does stand up. It was at the time groundbreaking, and oh, I haven't seen this before. But it's more than that, and it is lasting. I think I last saw it a couple of years ago. It was on TV, and I was like, "This is still good." Definitely, there's more in
Fincher.
David Fincher.
Fincher. That's when he's. I mean,
I think he's better when he's doing subtler. Scripts. Panic Room maybe takes that a bit too far, but I love Fincher. I can't get enough Fincher.
Yeah, me neither, but Panic Room's a low point. It's boring. It's got nothing interesting about it.
I mean, is that boring? I think it's a worthwhile film.
No, it's a waste of time.
David Fincher brings some fucking personality to the films he makes.
Too tricksy.
Okay.
Got too many fake camera moves. Not interested.
Okay. Sorry about
Not
that.
Recommend. The world is not enough. And
oh,
I know
God.
I know what this is. It only says on my ticket, the world eye. but it's the world is not enough. It was the last... No, it wasn't. It was the third Pierce Brosnan Bond movie directed by Michael Apted.
Flop, wasn't it?
No, it did all right. Robert Carlyle was in it. The sexy Sophie Musso.
Was he the bad guy?
Well...
I don't think I saw this one.
Well, maybe he was the bad guy. He wasn't in it enough. And Sophie Musso... was the Bond girl, and Denise Richards, Christmas. Oh. She comes...
There you go.
She
yeah.
comes once a year.
Yeah.
Christmas does.
Fucking repugnant shit. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been here, but in our first episode, but
I loved,
fuck off.
GoldenEye, fucking loved that. Loved the game. And then that, you know, it's too long. Michael Apted did Gorillas in the Mist. He does sort of like serious dramas, and again, it's like the mistake of the Bond franchise is giving a film to someone who is supposed to be sort of serious and is apparently going to add some gravitas. They did it with Mark Forster for Quantum of Solace, and they've done it with Sam Mendes for everyone's favourite Skyfall.
It's now officially the best Bond film ever.
Yeah, best
Bond. So, you know what that tells you, doesn't it?
That everyone's a fucking arsehole?
No, that James Bond can fuck off.
Yeah.
If that's the best Bond film ever, then let's kill James Bond.
It's not. Yeah, okay.
And let's resurrect him in 50 years and we'll do him like what you said, Quentin Tarantino said. We'll do a retro James Bond.
And then
it will finally be good. Because the books are good.
They're never going to be good.
Fuck the films.
Yeah, they're never going to be
good. Fuck
them. They're fucking...
And I hate Pierce Brosnan as well, is that fair? Has he ever done anything good?
Yeah.
What?
GoldenEye.
Thomas that doesn't
Crown,
count.
Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah, but...
He's quite good in The Matador.
Has he ever done anything really good?
Seraphim Falls.
Oh, yes. I haven't seen that, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
He tries, but he can't.
All right, well, 10 out of 10 effort.
He sucks in his paunch too much. I mean, he's got to fucking stop doing that. You've got a gut, mate.
Well...
Not you, but...
Yeah. Well, I have got a gut, but I don't suck it in.
These last two films are going to blow your socks off.
Okay.
Tarzan. The animated Disney picture.
Oh, fucking hell, did that not... I thought that was much later.
No.
Is that in the wrong pile?
No, it's 1999.
Really?
1999.
I thought that...
6th of December, my friend.
As predicted by Prince. Haven't seen it, don't care.
Phil Collins did the music.
What a surprise!
Circle of Life.
Big fan of Phil Collins. a must listen with the No Jacket Required.
Minnie Driver did the voice of the lady, the sexy Jane lady.
There you go. Minnie Driver.
Really made me want to have sex with the Jane lady.
Jane lady.
She's got like a really sexy, that really husky...
Well, that was always something about Minnie Driver. Looked like she'd ingested a small boxing glove. Obviously she's swallowed on it now because she doesn't appear to exist anymore, which is sad.
I liked it when she was a bigger lass.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go on record and saying that.
What's that film she's in, one of her early ones? It was very, very good.
Circle of Friends?
Yeah, that might be it.
Where she's a dumpy Irish schoolgirl?
No, keep going.
Good Will Hunting?
No, between the two. There's something about her and another girl, and there's a rivalry, and they get mixed up. No? If you know the answer, tweet us at Out of the Canon.
The Prince and the Pauper. And the last film of 1999 I saw on the 26th, the Boxing Day. I saw this film on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
I saw Dogma.
Oh, Minnie Driver. No, Janine Garofalo.
She's not.
Oft confused.
She's
but it does have... Ben Affleck and Matt Damon in it, which is why I got confused for a second there. What do you think of Dogma? I re-watched that again a few weeks ago, just out of interest.
Yeah.
Because I loved Clerks.
Clerks. He tried so hard on Dogma. It's far, far beyond whatever his talents are, his idea.
Well, I totally get what he was trying to do. I do get it, but without the budget... it just doesn't work. And I feel like kind of bad for Kevin Smith that it's just no one wanted to give him any fucking money to make it.
He had plenty of money for that. He had a really big budget.
Not enough, man.
Well, no.
He needed special effects and stuff. And it looks so fucking shabby.
He should have cut it back. Like, it's hoist by his puerile sense of humour. Shit monster.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
Yeah.
Like, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are great in that film.
Yeah.
You could just...
They're always good in anything. And also, you're kind of drawing from, like, this great well there. Because they're good friends and they've worked together.
Well, run with what's good. Like, he could have stayed with those fallen angels so much more. Alan Rickman's good. Linda Fiorentino, she wasn't up for it. And afterwards, on the commentary, I've watched the film and the commentary.
Really?
Kevin Smith is sort of talks about it. It's like, oh man, if only... In the scene with Janine Garofalo, it's like, oh man, I wish we'd just got Garofalo to be the lead in the film. She would have been so good.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like, yeah, okay, but that's not going to save your film. That one change of cast. You're trying to find excuses for something that's a bit of a misfire. It's weird, like, tonally, it just doesn't, you know, he doesn't have it. He just doesn't have the skills to wrestle that fucking picture into control.
Yeah. It's like he doesn't quite have the refined hand that he needs.
You know, he needs to write.
He was almost there at a point. But it's like the fact that Silent Bob talks, and it's like, oh my god, he said something. That happens, like, twice in the film. And it's like, no, that only happens if you use it once towards the end of the film, and it's this massive surprise. But he couldn't help himself but have him say two things.
Mm.
And then you're just like, well, what's the point? If you can talk, why is he Silent Bob? It all falls apart, these little cool things that you have. And, yeah, I don't know, there was just no point in Dogma. And it says at the beginning, it's like, oh, don't take this as, like, a comment on religion. It's not meant to be that. This is just, like, stuff that we think is funny.
But it's not a common religion.
And then you're
religion.
Like, okay, well, fine. Well, what is it then?
But it's not a common religion. That's it. It's not even got any balls to be anything.
Yeah, but he grew up a Catholic. So I think it kind of is. It's just he didn't have the balls to make this, like, you know, critique of... It was trying to be fucking Brazil or something.
And
but it didn't have the balls.
Well, it's like going, oh, you know, Catholicism's got these silly ideas, hasn't it? And you're like, well, thanks.
Yeah, so make a film about it.
Do something with it. Well, yeah, fucking...
Don't go, oh, no, this isn't a comment on anything. This is just us being funny. But I don't know. It's too by the numbers as well.
Make a film about fallen angels. Just follow Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that would have been the film. That's what I thought, yeah.
That's
just focus on them.
They're so funny. They've got such amazing chat at the beginning when they're sat in the airport. There's some amazing dialogue in that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not take that away from Kevin Smith. He can write some amazing dialogue.
Yeah.
Just take away the camera from him. Write and let's have someone say to him, okay, I want these guys, I want them in a film, and then get another director to make it.
Yeah.
I sort of liked it when it came out. I got it on DVD. But, yeah, you know, it's not up to snuff.
I always had more rats on the VHS. I just used to watch that all the time.
Yeah.
Way easier to stomach.
I mean,
it's not trying to be anything.
Yes.
It's just like, if you've got a spare hour and a half, like, stick this on and you'll vaguely pay attention. What more could you want? And you go, yeah, some of those girls are hot.
Yeah,
I can buy into this. He's dressed as Batman. They beat up the Easter Bunny. That's quite funny.
It's got some good one-liners in. Some good catchphrases that you say to your mates.
Yeah, and a brilliant fucking Weezer song on the end credits.
Oh, yeah.
That's Suzanne.
B-side.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Must see.
Must see Mallrats.
So, this has been a fucking long podcast. Not that I've got a problem with that.
Oh, my Christ. We'll possibly have to cut it into...
I don't see why we should.
Maybe
but, you know,
put it into two parts. Well,
if we have cut it, you're listening to part two of this. But, you know, I don't think... Well, this is just 1 year.
That's 1 year. That's 1999. Yeah. And that's only... That's... I saw fewer films.
That was nothing.
That was nothing. That's only 40 films.
That's brilliant.
I get... Well,
no, I like... This is a good format, though.
I get up to...
We're going to do these. We're going to carry on with this.
Well, yeah, we're going to...
The Adam Richman story in film.
We're going to go up to 2004.
You're going to learn about who this guy is. We've already learned a lot today. There's a lot to take in. I hope you've been keeping notes.
It's, yeah, I mean, child of divorce, you know...
You should have seen his facial expression.
Fell out with a mate.
That came later.
Liked driving to Hemel. Yeah, it did come later, but still.
Ooh. But we'll carry up with this format, though, won't we?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I think it's good. I think it works.
Yeah,
it's good. It's snappy.
I enjoyed it.
It keeps everyone
name a film, say a thing. Yeah. Go, go, go.
It's nice to give some historical context. So, yeah, this is quite long, but it's good. We've got fodder here. But nevertheless, we've had some good listener requests, haven't we?
What to chat about?
Yeah. So please keep those coming in. If you're listening, we want to know what you would like to hear us talk about.
Yeah, there's a good question we got asked.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, so I'm going to think about
it.
I've
been thinking about that today, okay. But just on the off chance we're going to talk about it tonight. But yeah, so yeah, please keep getting in touch with your ideas, because it's good and it's nice. And as you can see, all we need is an excuse to chat about things. Just wind us up and pew, we will chat away with the genius results.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that whole bit about
stuff.
Notting Hill.
Oh, gold.
Remember
gold.
When I said that thing about...
That could be its own episode, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, lovely stuff. Well, you know, follow us at the Twitter, at the Out of the Canon, and Tumblr, outofthecanon.tumblr.com, and subscribe and send us films and send us lovely messages and be our friends.
That would be really nice.
This is just a giant cry for help.
Okay, until next time, listeners, I've been Jeff Glees.
And I have been his sidekick.
Bye!